right, we are back and ready to go. Tonight we are talking with Jay Hill. He is a native of Wisconsin, and he is the founder of Wisconsin Paranormal Research. And how are you doing this evening, Jay?
Hey.
So, I usually ask the question of our guests to start off, so everybody can get to know them. What got you interested and started in the paranormal?
Since I can remember, probably when I was a child, I had incidences where I had seen full body apparitions. I used to have really horrific nightmares. And then come to find out later that I was gifted to be a medium. So I kind of ran from that and kind of did my own thing, but the paranormal always seemed to find me. And everywhere I moved, it was either haunted or something. And I eventually just stopped running and started following it and doing what I could, you know, to help people and this and that. So.
Okay, cool. So, are you a singular person in your team, in your foundation, or did you start an actual team?
I started it with another person, and okay. It was a kind of a brainstorm of my wife's cousin and his girlfriend. We had talked about it when we were in Lake Geneva one time, and we were walking downtown in the summer, and we distinctively heard footsteps walking behind us, and we all three kind of looked at each other like, did you hear that? And then that kind of got the ball rolling, and people started talking, and we decided that we would, you know, maybe come up with something. And I worked with a girl that was into it as well, and so we decided to start putting something together.
Cool. So how often do you usually go out? Or have you ever...
We've had a few investigations. I did a business up way up north. Somebody had called us and asked us to go up there and try to find out what was standing over his bed watching him. And when we had gone up there, it was interesting to say the least. And then we've had a couple here and there where we've done a couple places in Lake Geneva. The one that we really like and that I really like is the Maxwell Mansion in Lake Geneva. And we actually met the new owners and we sat down with them and they were totally cool with us being there. And they're just fantastic people. So
cool. So when you've investigated that manor, have you gotten any good EVPs or video or anything?
Yeah, I have a couple EVPs. We were at the bar downstairs, which is called the Speakeasy. Mm-hmm. I had left my phone on the counter or on the bar, and turned on my recorder and asked if there's anybody here, if they want to say anything, you can speak into this device and this and that. And then we left and we went outside. And then when I had came back to review the recording, somebody was asking for somebody named Susan. Now, mm-hmm. I had asked around after that with some of the staff if they ever heard of anybody named Susan, and nobody had. But that was kind of weird. We see a lot of light anomalies. I have a couple short videos of the light anomalies, blinking ones. If that, I've never seen a blinking light anomaly, but it's pretty cool. So
was that caught in?
In the basement, actually, yeah, that was at the mansion in Lake Geneva, at the Maxwell Mansion. Yeah.
What were you using, a video camera or your cell
phone? I was actually using a trail camera.
Trail camera.
So I really thought that the trail camera, since it's got automatic night vision on it, and
mm-hmm.
you know, with the memory card in there and the recording of like anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minutes. We had actually got some good light anomalies through there.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of where I was going with that, to find out if it was just a standard camera or if it was something that had a night vision on it.
Yeah. We really like those trail cams, because not only they're not that expensive and they're so portable, you can just put them anywhere.
Yeah, true. So Philip, one of our viewers here, asks, do you know the history of the manor?
I do, actually. My wife works with a gentleman who is a bartender at the mansion at night, and he's got a plethora of information of the history, and if I didn't know then, I sure know now. So, yeah, it's one of the oldest buildings in Lake Geneva. It's got a kind of just a long history of, there was a doctor there named Dr. Maxwell that used to, perform, procedures in the downstairs in the basement, kind of like a lab area. It was back in the mid 1800s. That was probably, yeah. Yep. It's a gorgeous place. I mean, it's a hotel.
That's in Lake Geneva. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never had a clue.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. It's fantastic. The people there are fantastic. Everything. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just, you can go there, and it's got a bar downstairs that's a speakeasy, and then upstairs it's got a bar that, and it's got a ballroom, and it's got rooms upstairs, and it's fantastic.
Wow.
So
what parts of it did you investigate, or was it all of it that you investigated?
A couple times that we were there, we kind of did a walkthrough of that. We went into the attic once, and we were in the basement in the speakeasy a lot, because of the fact that when they have guests, we kind of try to keep it low key, and we don't want to just disturb any guests or anything like that. So
right.
We just, okay, you know. But
so what did, in your time there, where'd you find most of the activity at?
In the speakeasy, but also what is called the cognac room, which is just like a sitting room. It's very comfortable. People go there to sit there. It's like a big, not really that big, but it's just some tables there, and people, just three or four people, can just sit there and talk and whatnot. And
okay.
I actually caught I was in the entrance to the cognac room, and then the other side of the room, there was like a hallway that goes into another part of the house. And there's a light that shines through that by the bathroom there. And there was a shadow that came through and extended past the table or the bench that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that on camera. I had that on video. I was recording. And there was nobody there, because the floors there creak. I mean, it's so old that you can't walk anywhere without it being making noise.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So yeah, that's the speakeasy. And so when I had walked over there to see if somebody was there, and I didn't see anybody. I went to review the tape or the video, and when I went back into to show one of my other investigators, that part of the tape was missing.
Wow.
And that's not happened. That's happened probably three times where we will have recorded something and then we go back to play it and that part of it is missing.
We've had some stuff like that happen.
It's kind of annoying, but we understand if they don't want to be on camera, that's fine.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
Looks like the idea to fly there.
Yeah, that's one of those contraptions. So besides the manor there, also Philip here, he asked if you have a medium in the group. If so, did they pick up on the doctor?
Yeah. Two of us, myself and Pan Messman is another investigator with me, and we are both mediums. And yeah, we did pick up on the doctor faintly, but we picked up on the little boy more. There's a little boy named Eddie that is there, and he dwells in the attic. And we both knew that he was there before we even entered the building. So, wow.
Cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
So besides the mansion, what's that, Joe?
So it looks like an interesting place. I mean, the date that I found on it was like from the 1800s, so it's old.
Yeah, it's old. Yeah.
So besides the manor, is there any other places that you've went to that you're kind of intrigued with?
In Lake Geneva, there was a house that we did in Lake Geneva. That wasn't too far from there. We weren't really allowed to post about it. It was kind of a private deal, but I mean, it was
we know about the private ones. We've done a couple of private investigations.
So. Yeah. We've had one, that we went to Harvard, Illinois to, do an investigations. But then when me and Pam had got there with two other younger investigators, we realized it was a cleansing needed instead of an investigation. So we were able to do that and to help the family then, and they were very grateful.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what we do. We seem to run into some negative entities. I don't know if that's just us.
I honestly believe that that's the way the world is right now. We have a lot of negativity in the world.
Right.
And until we can start playing nicely with each other again, it's going to stay that way for a while.
And I think that you hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, I think that that's exactly right. I mean, it's just everything is so amped up right now that it's just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So is Wisconsin the only place you've been doing investigations? Or I know you just said Illinois, but I'm talking about mostly this area, like Wisconsin, Illinois, area, or have you went other places in the United States?
As of late, no, we haven't. Just because of the whole COVID. And people are really kind of gun shy with that. We've been trying to get into different places, but they just some places are that we kind of know that are haunted or that have activity. People still really are just, you know, stay away. You know, we ran into that a lot. Even this last 6 months, it's still been people just. You know,
yeah, we know how it goes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we've got a couple of things on hold right now because of the COVID.
They're standing invitations.
But they are, yeah, they are standing invitations.
It's still not clear to go yet. We haven't got the
opening. Right, and that in itself is getting annoying.
Yeah, but we need to do what we our part to make sure that we are all safe. That's the main thing.
Yeah, and that's one of the things where we did the one private residence in Lake Geneva. You know, we made sure that the people knew that, you know, we, you know, will wear masks and that, you know, we will social distance, and mm-hmm. we wanted to make them feel comfortable instead of, you know, not just come in and do whatever, you know.
Right.
It's, our first concern is our safety of our team and the people that we help, you know, so.
Yeah, my idea on this is I would rather be the investigator than the investigated.
Right. I would agree.
And especially for Joe, because he's,
as far
he's
as I know, they're still trying to figure out what you are, Mark. So, do you go just, have you ever been out, because this is Wisconsin, you ever been out looking for any of the cryptids we have?
Yeah, I have driven by Bray Road.
Ooh, here we go.
A couple different times. Sometimes if I have to go to Elkhorn, and it's on my way from my work and by Sturtevant, I just take the back way and I drive by Bray Road, and I've gone out there a couple different times. It's just interesting to see, you know, if there's, I mean, I heard stories of that when I was in high school here, you know, I mean, it's been around for so long.
I didn't
even know they wrote up, somebody wrote a book on it.
Yeah, Linda Godfrey.
Yep.
Yeah.
She actually named it the Beast. She was actually the one, because of her book and her story. Actually, it was a story in one of the local papers.
Yeah.
But she's the one that named it Beast of Bray Road.
Yeah, the Beast of Bray Road. Because, she worked for like the Elkhorn paper or something. She was like right there in that town or something.
I just recently read a story about a truck driver had just seen something. Not once, but twice in the same spot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's cryptics are, I mean, we had one that was like the Mothman, not too far from my house. It was,
really?
Yeah, it was in Illinois, but it was right by the border. And it was, somebody posted it on Facebook, and it was an article. And I was like, that's not that far from my house, you know, and a winged creature that stood 7 feet tall. Okay. Huh?
Yeah. Know? Just recently, well, up in our possible. Area. No, just recently, possible. Just recently up in our area here, Joe, outside of Stoughton on 138. Some,
yeah, I know
a couple of girls, a couple of young teenage girls driving from Oregon to Stoughton.
Yeah, Oregon and Stoughton, yeah.
Yep. They seen it.
Stoughton, right by the racetrack.
Yeah, they seen it around the road that takes you over to the racetrack. So
yeah, that's crazy.
It's a pretty desolated area. A lot of farmland out there, so it's like a lot of fields and stuff.
It's wide open. There's
barns. Yeah, it's a lot of wide open space.
But yeah, right. No, Beast of Bray Road, that's Joe's favorite topic, and
yeah, we spent a lot of time on some property down there by Bray Road, so we plan to go back.
So is your guys' screen froze? Because I'm froze.
No, you're coming through end. Just fine on our end.
Okay, all right, that's fine then.
That's weird. Yeah, it's the internet.
Yeah, probably.
It could be anything.
Right.
So do you do any of that stuff with the cryptids, or is it just mostly the spirits and hauntings?
Yeah, it's mostly like the spirits and like the helping people. And, you know, I've been in graveyards that I've done little EVP sessions, and I've actually, you know, spoke to some deceased, and yeah, I've been yelled at, screamed at, and whole nine yards, and you know, so yeah, it's just trying to, and with the whole cryptic, that's fascinating too. And I don't, the group of people that we're, that we are with now, I don't really think that they're too into that. But I'm not against it. I mean, the history of all that stuff, you know, I mean, it's just fascinating.
Well, there's a lot of fascinating stuff about the world if you look at it.
Yep. I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the paranormal and, there's a lot of rabbit holes we could go down just with this topic alone.
Well, the paranormal covers such a broad spectrum. I mean, it covers everything from
conspiracy theories, you know, but I'm talking the harmless conspiracy theories, you know, the ones that are like related with Area 51, not some of these.
You know. Now that's a fascinating story. I've always been interested in that.
What, Area 51?
Yeah, well, I've read books.
I feel aliens have got to exist. We can't be ignorant to think that
there's only life form
in this universe on one single planet. And when there's God knows how many planets are out there.
Right.
Oh, there's billions of stars.
I'd hate to guess, right. But see, life forms could be anywhere.
Right.
On any of those planets.
Yep.
You know, and they don't have to be the same class of planet as ours either. People adapt.
No.
Living things adapt.
Yeah, and that fascinates me too, right there. I mean, it's just to think that we're the only ones here. Yeah, I don't think
that's so. That's pretty ignorant way of thinking.
Yeah. Well, I never thought that.
NASA scientists have already determined that it's a good possibility that we've actually got at least two moons in our solar system, one of them that circles Jupiter and one of them that circles Saturn, that could possibly have life on it because they have a liquid center.
Well, and then I've seen too many weird things in the sky that I just couldn't explain either.
Oh yeah.
And some of it was easy to explain, but a lot of it doesn't move like a plane, doesn't move like a copter. You know, I've lived by the airports, you know, I lived by Dane County Regional Airport. Right. Yeah, I know what all that stuff looks like. You know,
I had one outside my house. I mean, I looked up and I saw, I thought it was a plane, and it was not a plane. Yeah. I had to question it, like, am I going crazy or is this, but no, yeah, that was not a plane. No. And it moved too fast.
Well, you also have, there are, going back into the spirit part of it, there are orbs and unexplained lights that have been seen that are associated more with the spirit realm rather than the extraterrestrial realm.
Right. And I don't think a lot of people who are in the paranormal, I mean, may not always put that together, the two and two, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like,
right.
You know, it's like, it's a different way of thinking, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
you got to keep an open mind when you're in the paranormal world and you're investigating this stuff, because if you don't, you're not going to get very far.
Right. It's one thing to be a skeptic, but it's another thing to be, you know,
I'm just totally looking for answers.
Right.
I just want answers.
Yeah, that's about it. You know, and you have all this stuff that's unexplained and you just basically want to find answers to it.
I think it's kind of fun just to try to explain it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the fun part. And learning the history, of course, of a lot of these places.
That's the biggest thing for me is the history aspect of it. I mean, I love history and I always have. And it's just, you know, we investigate to try to not only, you know, find the truth about if there's spirits or whatnot there, but if there's lost history, if somebody doesn't know, you know, certain things about a residence or a building or, you know, whatnot, you know, that they do know, you know, later on and say, oh, well, we never knew that, you know, and that's part of also what, you know, what I do and what we do is just the fact that the history aspect of it plays well in there.
It does. And you have to know some of that stuff to know why.
Right.
Maybe something might be going on, a haunting, a poltergeist, you know, something, you know. If you know the history of the land, the property, you might be able to figure out you know, and put somebody's mind at ease.
A lot of people don't realize land has a lot to do with it.
Oh yeah, it does. Yes, it does.
Especially around here with all Native American history.
Yep.
You know, the land could have all the energy attached to it. And you could put two or three different buildings up in within a different eras, and each building could wind up having the same haunting. And okay. It's all because of the land itself.
Right.
Yep.
Joe, did you see the question that William put up there?
This one.
Yeah. Do you believe that extraterrestrial intelligence and the paranormal could be connected?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Well, you know, there is a little article thing that I read that said that one of Einstein's theories may actually prove the existence of spirit. Because in Einstein's theory, energy is not destroyed or created. Energy changes form.
Mm-hmm.
We are energy, and so is the spirits, allegedly. They are made of energy, because when they manifest, they pull energy from objects. They can turn,
right.
They can make an object cold, or they can drain right. batteries.
So, yeah, I just heard that yesterday. It's weirdly weird that you brought that up. Somebody was telling me that yesterday about Einstein. And so I was like, no way. So yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, that's the second time I've heard that.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, energy can't be destroyed, and it really can't be created. It just changes. This is his theory. It just changes form.
Right. Right.
I told you I'm going to be around forever. I'm a vampire.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to be haunted by this guy.
That's right.
Well, if he's your buddy, more than anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, we've known each other for over 20 years, so we pick each other a lot.
And I only say that, it's a joke, because I say that because I've survived more stuff than you can just imagine, including cancer.
Well, there you go. Well, congrats on that, man.
No, but I make fun of the vampire stuff because it was blood cancer. I had leukemia, so you know.
Oh wow!
So, and ever since then, I've kind of called myself a vampire. But that anyway, pet cemetery thought. Somebody had a thought about like pet cemetery. That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
That movie made me cringe. I mean, Stephen King's a genius, but. The thought of a pet coming back and being a zombie-like evil version of its previous self, I don't think so.
Yeah, no. That movie freaks me out, too. So you're not alone on that one.
I think that even freaked Stephen King himself out when he actually saw it after.
Stephen King is just freaky to begin with. I mean,
yeah, he is, isn't he?
He's got to have a pretty demented
mind to come up with some of those movies and books.
Stephen King, I can't remember which actual book it was he wrote, but he said he had to put that thing down and leave it for months because it scared the hell out of him before he could go back and start writing it.
Damn it.
But I can't remember which one it was.
It wasn't The Shining, was it?
No. If he would have finished it, because his wife found it in the closet and told him to finish it, and if he would have finished it when he started it, because it was sitting in the closet for years, it would have been his first book, and it was like his third or fourth book.
Philip says Shining. I don't know if it was
No, it wasn't The Shining. It was either Pet Cemetery or It or something like that. It was one of those ones that he freaked himself out so bad that he had to put it down.
Yeah,
to
literally
put it.
You
got to wonder where those thought processes come from. His brain to come up with stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, but he is a genius. So I mean, everything he's done has just been a hit.
Yeah. So Jay,
There's a lot of sick, twisted people out there.
Yeah, there is, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Mark's one of them.
Oh, right. So, you were talking about going to the cemetery and stuff, doing EVPs in there. Is there any particular one that you had a good experience at, or caught any kind of evidence?
There's one outside of Walworth, Wisconsin, which is called Cobblestone.
I heard of
cemetery.
That one.
It's very small. It's kind of like the drive is a U shape, and so you go in one and then U shape around it out the other side.
It's maybe,
but
about
it's a really old.
Yeah,
it's a very old cemetery, but it's a peaceful cemetery too, you know, and it's not too far from the railroad tracks. And then Oak Hill Cemetery, which is in Lake Geneva, where a third of my relatives are buried, including my parents.
You know, I think they got an Oak Hill Cemetery in almost every town.
I think so too. I've heard that. Before.
I believe there's one out here. Isn't that what that one is? Oak Hill Cemetery? I think it is. Shameless.
He's talking to the peanut gallery.
Yeah, she's she's from this area and knows it better than I do. But I think we drive by one every now and then out here in Watertown, and it's called Oak Hill Cemetery.
Yeah, that cemetery is probably my favorite, just because of the fact not only that my parents are buried there, but my grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a big cemetery, but it's also an older cemetery that you know, holds a lot of Civil War veterans, and it's just a fascinating. I've always loved cemeteries.
That's like the one here in up here in Madison.
I was just going to mention that's on Wisconsin's most haunted cemeteries list as number one. Forest Hill is, really? I believe. Yeah, Forest Hill Cemetery.
Forest Hill Cemetery in
Madison.
Yeah, that one has everything from Civil War to World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, pretty much all the wars that's been. They have the graveyards there, or the burial parts there, so you can find them.
Yeah.
Plus, that cemetery also has effigy mounds inside of it.
Oh.
Which are pretty interesting too.
I used to take care of a cemetery when I lived in Nebraska. I was a caretaker for the city, this small town. And that I had some experiences in that cemetery. You know, we had we were grave diggers as well, so we actually had to finish filling in a grave. The family had just said their goodbyes and this and that, and me and two buddies walked over there to finish shoveling dirt, and I walked in because I realized I didn't really, you know what I was or who I was. It was when I was in my 20s, who I was then. I walked into this whole aura of sadness and everything else, and it was when we were shoveling dirt on this person's casket was just morbid, to say the least, but it was just a very wild experience, you know, and I'll never forget that. So
somebody looked it up. Philip looked up the answer. It was Pet Cemetery.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah, that still gives me the willies.
Yeah, well, I could understand why. I mean, just that part where the kid got hit by the semi truck.
That's the part that I hate the most.
Yes, me too. Yep.
Yeah. It's just flat out freaky.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, with all the stuff that you found, you know, I grew up here in Wisconsin too. I just couldn't believe how I could grow up here and not know how strange Wisconsin really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I started reading you ever hear of Chad Lewis?
Uh-uh.
The author, he writes all those books. He does, I think he was down in the library down in Lake Geneva doing a talk thing, promoting his books, but he's cover all of the Wisconsin paranormal stuff for years and writes about it in these books. And that's where I've been following him, kind of looking at some of the famous places and, you know, looking into it. But I just
can't remember
believe
that.
How strange it was. It's so strange that we actually got a book named Weird Wisconsin.
Yeah, right. Gotta love the state.
You do. I mean, I always thought it was about drinking and getting drunk, you know, and being an alcoholic.
Yeah. Drinking, you know? Getting drunk, eating cheese curds, and riding Harleys.
I mean, you go down State Street in Madison, you have a bar, you have like 7 bars per every block.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe more.
Well, and I kind of think that's kind of.
I think I'm being
now.
Generous there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of everywhere now.
Yeah.
So, you got any plans on the horizon for places to go?
I would like to get into the Civil War Museum in Racine. I've heard some good things about that place. There's probably a couple people that are fans of our page on our Facebook page. Every once in a while, we'll get a couple people that say, hey, you should check this out, or you should check this out, or that out, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Somebody actually told me that the Pizza Hut in Lake Geneva is haunted. And so I actually contacted the manager for Pizza Hut and this and that, and they won't let us investigate.
Well, it's most likely the property that
well, it's the franchise, right. Yeah, and the franchise, and they got to answer to that because of the label. They got to answer,
and that's what we ran into. Yeah, that's
the franchise or the corporation or whatever. It's
well, if it's a franchise, yeah. If it's a franchise store, they have to also
they got
to
authorize it from they above. Also yeah.
Gotta,
yeah, they also got to follow corporations regulations. So,
yep. And I know that there used to be an old house there, so it's just kind of put two and two together. Yeah. But it was kind of cool to hear the stories that some of these, you know, these teenage girls would be telling about this, that, and the other thing, and scaring the bejesus out of them, and it's just,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard that all the way from high school, you know.
So. Right. Have you ever done any interviews with people to like get them on tape? Talking about their stories?
But just less receptive. You know, I mean, I guess maybe some of the people that we talk to are just not into it. They can talk, you know, they could just say, hey, this is a story, but I don't want to go on record and say it.
Yeah. We're finding that.
We find that out a lot, too.
So. Yeah, we're finding that difficult, especially when we're trying to find witnesses for the Beast of Bray Road stories.
Right. Especially when you try to find witnesses, as you know, say, hey, did you hear this or see this? Or, I don't want to be on camera.
I've been looking for, and nobody, I haven't got a single answer yet, you know, and I've been putting out feelers and stuff like this, but, you know, some people, they want to tell their stories, but I don't want, nope.
They want to tell their stories, but they want people to listen to them and not...
Right. Because the fact that they're worried about either their personal image or they're worried about somebody's going to hear it and think that they're nuts, or which
it all
you
comes
know, we're,
down
we're
to
all
the
nuts.
Image.
So
yeah, but nowadays, and I can understand it back, you know, 20, 30 years ago or whatever. Nowadays, it's becoming, you know, the paranormal, and you know, look at all those shows are on TV.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
I mean, you know, they're not as realistic as it really is. I mean, and I hate to cut down TV, but that's the truth. And anybody with common sense will tell you, it's all about ratings and money,
yep.
And the pocketbook there. Yep. But when it comes down to the paranormal world, it's become more acceptable. I mean, when people hear you, oh yeah, you got a card. I want to know more. I want to see more. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming more socially acceptable than it used to be maybe 20
years ago. It really is. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
So,
have you ever been up in the Madison area to do any walking around up there, like around the college or
I have area? Not. That's kind of on my list. I'd like to do that. I mean, there's a couple different places that I'd like to go explore a little bit. Even the Kettle Moraine is, there's just spots around there that are just.
Yeah, we got plans to go there too.
You know, so
I think honestly,
what are you looking at around Madison? Just out of curiosity.
Well, we went, I think me and my wife went to Stoughton once. So just around that area. I mean, I don't really have, and you talked about the cemetery there, right?
That's Forest Hill.
Actually, I'd seen that. What was that? There's that haunted things in Wisconsin or something.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's different things, but I would really like to just take a walk through, you know, the most historical parts of Madison. That would be, to me, would just be just to see the buildings and the architectures, all the architecture and all that stuff. So
you definitely want to go up by the college then.
Yeah.
You want to get a hold of me and I'll go with you. I'll take you to some of the coolest spots in Madison.
Oh, that sounds like a plan right there.
Man, I grew up there. I know some of the spots you ain't going to find in any travel brochure, you know.
I'll take your word for it.
Not many people know about Picnic Point, and then there's that that one hill, Mark. I showed you where it was.
Regent Street comes up. Yeah.
Yeah, or you over there by Hoyt.
Yep.
Yeah. Where you overlook, and you can see all the way out there to Hilldale Mall. And
One of the reasons I was asking you, Jay, is because you said you're sensitive, you're psychic, and you can pick up on a lot of energies and stuff. The college up there has a lot going on in it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's
one of the oldest areas too of Madison.
That's probably why I want to go there. just go to the oldest buildings just because of the fact that it's just...
And you want to check out the Capitol if you haven't.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have to check out that Capitol, man. There's got to be some activity going on there.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you kinds of stories about that Capitol.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting history.
You come
there.
To Madison, we'll get us a tour guide. I'll get a hold of Lisa and we'll all go and have some fun.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a plan.
So we know
Lisa Van Buskirk.
Lisa Van Buskirk. She does the American Ghost Walk tours for Madison.
Yep.
Oh, right on. That's cool.
Yep.
So she knows all the history. She is. She retired from the city of Madison as a firefighter.
Fire department. Yeah.
From the fire department, city of Madison fire department. Oh, yeah. She Sweet. Knows it all. She knows the history too, real well. So, but yeah, it's rich with history. You're gonna want to spend a lot of time when you start seeing some of the old structures. You could spend an entire day just in the Capitol alone.
Yeah, I'll probably be in awe.
And you want to go to the Capitol? When you go to the Capitol, you want to do that when it's nice outside, so that you can go outside. Out on the rotunda outside.
All right, yeah.
And then you can actually walk around it and see all the lakes that surround Madison.
There's only two lakes, Joe.
Well,
yeah.
You see Lake Mendota.
There's Mendota, Monona.
Monona.
And then Wabisa, which is actually more of a pond.
Oh, but whatever.
Does he always correct you like that?
Yeah, he's a pain in my ass. I call him PETA for short.
Oh man.
I know. I have a bad habit.
He's real anal that way. But you know, I've known the guy for I don't know, 20, 30 over 20 years. 20 something years. And I trust him. You know, he's always got my
back.
That's
the biggest thing right there. Is yeah.
You know, and I have trust issues to begin with. So, you know, there's not many people in the world, you know, when they, that old saying, I grew up with these old people and old sayings and stuff. They says, you know, you'll be lucky just to have one friend from high school when you get my age. That's what my grandpa and these people used to tell me. You know what? I don't think I have many friends at all from high school anymore. Maybe acquaintances that I still know and run into every few years or so, but.
Oh.
No. Yeah, I have a couple.
I know. It doesn't happen. I can be but annoying.
I was one of those troublemakers. You know, I was always hanging around with a bad crowd, and it's like, you know, my friends were always really important and stuff. So, you know, my dad was constantly lecturing me about that stuff. But I ended up on the right side of the law. So,
well, see, that's that. You guys get along so well that way. I mean, it's obvious. You know. I mean, you guys are on this show together, and you guys, well, you know.
It started out where we pissed too many people off by talking about the wrong subjects, because we kind of had a knack in back. I guess it was started when we met way back when and at Union Cab. I pulled a practical joke on my brother, who also worked at Union Cab, one of the cab companies in Madison. My brother and Mark worked in the transit department. Now my brother's my little brother. Well, not my little brother, but he's younger than me. Anyway, so they were friends already. So I just started there, and I was going to be a cab driver. And I put a fake phony ticket on my brother's car. He did not like it. He went in and he was blaming everybody in the building. And then he got to Mark, and I don't know what Mark did, but Mark did something or said something to him, and he just went and lay off Mark after that and just believed Mark until he eventually saw me walk in and realized, son of a bitch, you did this to me, didn't you? And I blamed everybody. But after that, Mark and I and my brother, we were picking on everybody in Union Cab, and nobody was safe after that. Yeah.
Equal opportunist picker.
You're right.
There you go.
Pick on everybody equally.
Yep.
So you never know what to expect when Mark and I get together.
True. So. But I do. I agree. I have to agree with you, Jay. I do have a bad habit of correcting people.
He's real anal that way.
I don't know what it is. Don't know why.
He's got OCD.
I think it does
of some sort.
I think it does have to.
He does. I swear to God, you do.
I do have OCD, but I do believe that is part of it as well.
Yeah, but you guys get along so well that it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
If you were to do that to a total stranger down the street or something, and then they'd be like,
"Yeah,
what the hell?" You know,
they'd call me pretty much every name in the book. But
yeah, probably.
Yeah. So we've got a good thing going, and we've just kept it going ever since. So.
Yeah, it seems to be that way.
But I miss going out and investigating and being cooped up. I've been cooped up too long. So
way too long.
I've got a big bucket list.
So, Jay, do you have any other than your Facebook? Do you have any other website, like a YouTube or anything?
I have. Well, yeah, I do have YouTube. I have some clips on YouTube. It's nothing spectacular as of yet, but it's just. We also have a Twitter account. Wisconsin Paranormal Research. It's on at Spirit Realms, Wisconsin. And then there's the Facebook page, Wisconsin Paranormal Research. And then I'm on Instagram. And then SpiritHawk26 is my personal Instagram that's connected to my paranormal team.
Okay, cool.
So our website is actually getting built as we speak. Hopefully it'll be up by the end of the month.
I hear a lot of people talking about that.
See, why can't we do that? Have somebody else build the website.
Yeah.
Why do I always got to do it?
Because you're good at it.
I have the guy that I have that makes some of my logos, Brock Morin. He's doing our website, and he's good at what he does. So.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm a self-taught computer whiz, but I also went to Herzing for a while too. So, you know, I took some of that. But no, I do all that myself.
Well, sometimes you just got to do it yourself.
Yeah, but it is a pain in the.
It is. That's hence me having somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Well, he knows most of the software and everything. I'm the hardware kind of guy. I can build a computer and make it work.
Right. Okay, so it's getting close to that time. Can you stick around for a while so we could do a little tape for a bonus?
Because
we're going to Paraflex in March, which is
that's awesome
soon.
Yeah.
So we do some bonus footage, which will only be seen on Paraflex. Everything else, this what you see now always gets stayed on Facebook and YouTube.
Yep.
We're not leaving our following. That's for sure. And let's see if all goes well. I don't even know. I can't find my book. I'll have to put it in later.
Oh, how dare you?
All right. Well, you got something you want to promote? Go ahead and promote it. I know we got a good show coming up next Wednesday. I just can't find my book right offhand. So
yeah, Jay, if there's any other thing you want to promote, like anything coming up for you?
Just our social media pages on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. Just know that, you know, we as a team are grateful to be part of we call the Parafam, you know, that this group of paranormal people that are just very supportive and now that you know watching Paraflex coming up and all the support from everybody is just awesome. So
cool.
It is. It really is. I mean, we found that early on before Paraflex came around, you know, and these people came out with Paraflex and, you know, so on and so forth. But when we first,
it's kind of like an awakening.
Yeah. Well, when we first started doing this, after we stopped pissing people off, we went out and 1 year and we went over to, it was 2019 when we switched to paranormal, March of 2019. And we went out to do the Witches of Whitewater. And while we were out there, we ran into the U.S. Paranormal Research Team. Huh. And they were a bunch of great guys.
Right.
You know, or a great group. It wasn't just guys, but they had the Chamber of Commerce with them. They were doing a documentary for Whitewater, but they took time out to talk to us for a while. And
Yeah,
they were really nice, polite. And it's like everybody you meet in the paranormal world, it's not a cutthroat world. It's actually a lot of people you meet most of the time.
Right.
Really nice.
Yep. You know,
it's really cool.
Yep, and a lot of them try to help each other.
Everybody,
until next time, everybody, stay safe and remember,
anything's
possible. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Coming in and standing in for us at the last minute. It would have been in the future, but you're welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
All right.